Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, God's wonderful, beautiful creation. Welcome to another broadcast of Perfecting Our Relationship with Our Wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, today, I believe that our Father has some wonderful nuggets that He does that He wants to share with us, that He wants to impress upon our hearts to keep us focused, to put things in a proper perspective. But before we get started, we're going to open up in a word of prayer. Father, I just come before you in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Father, I thank you for another opportunity to just come before you, to talk to your people, to share your heart with your people. Father, we are confronting and facing so much in our world today. So, Father, we just pray, Father God, first of all, Father, for Texas, Father God. We pray for the families, Father, that was affected, Father God, by that horrific shooting, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you will heal their hearts. We pray, God, that you will comfort them, Father, that you will strengthen them in this time, Father. We pray, Father God, for other shootings across our nation, Father God, just senseless, Father. We pray, Father God, that you will heal and that you will strengthen the victims, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you will continue, Father God, to show your people that are called by your name, Father God, what we need to do, Father God, to bring about a mass healing, Father God, in our nations, Father God. Father God, we exalt you in this nation, the United States of America. We decree and we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, and I thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, I just felt that a prayer for our nations was definitely appropriate for the times that we are facing today. And most of us know that our nation here in the United States, our society, we are facing some perilous times. We are facing disastrous times. We are facing times, unprecedented times, things that we have never seen occur before in our nation. And they're getting more, and the crime, the violence is getting more intense. It's increasing in its intensity. And I know so many people are asking, and I heard it all this week, if you live here in the Cleveland area, you know about all the shootings, the random shootings that has been going on in our neighborhoods within the last couple of weeks. And I'm sure it's happening across the city of Cleveland, across the nations. And many are asking, why? What is going on? What is going on? And we as believers, some of us have pointed people and we say this is prophecy being fulfilled. We talk about Matthew 24 when Jesus says that this is the beginning of sorrow. These things are going to happen. But why did Jesus prophesy that? Because obviously, he's God. So he knew what was going to happen. It was bringing about such progression in this violence, the crime, the phantom, just the disaster calamity that's going on in our society today. And I have one word for us believers. No matter how we try to dress it up, no matter what kind of nice labels we try to put on it, no matter what type of social programs we put in place, no matter how many polices we put in, we put on the workforce, no matter how many, no matter what we do, there's one thing or one word that's attributed, we are seeing the consequences that is attributed to the disasters, the calamities that is going on the face of this earth today. And it's called sin. S-I-N. Sin. And we all know that it started in the Garden of Eden, because everything starts in the Garden of Eden. When man disrespect God, when man disobeyed God, when man turned away from God, and we are suffering, and ever since then, it has been a progression of man being disobedient, man disrespecting, no reverence, no respect for our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, no respect for God. And that's why we're seeing the consequences of what happened. And we're going to look at a couple of scriptures to show us why we're seeing what we're seeing in this world today. When a nation or a person turn away from God, when there is no reverence, when there is no fear of the Lord, we suffer the consequences. The nation will suffer the consequences. And we see that all through the book of the Old Testament, with God's chosen nation, Israel, what happened when they began to turn away from God? So let's look at a couple of scriptures first so that we can get a handle, because God wants us as believers to understand what we're seeing today. It is not a coincidence. It's not some people, yes, mental health, but mental health only goes so far. We see in the famine, we're seeing shortage of baby formula. We're seeing wars all over the place. We're seeing pestilence. First we had COVID, and then COVID began to mutate into 5, 6, 7, 10 different variants. Now we're hearing things in the media talking about monkeypox. There's going to be more pestilence, famine, wars. These are all consequences of sin. These are all consequences of a nation turning their back on God, disrespecting God, taking God out of the center of the nation. Let's look at, let's start our study in Psalms 33. And today we're just going to talk about basic biblical housekeeping, getting back to the basics, looking at what we're seeing in our society from a biblical spiritual perspective, because that's how God wants us as believers to see things, from a biblical spiritual perspective, and not look at it as coincidence or this, or yes, Jesus did prophesy this, but that is not an excuse for us to continue to conform to the ways of the world. That is not an excuse for us to continue to accept sin. That is not an excuse for us as believers, us as the church, to not do what Jesus Christ commanded us to do. He said, my Father sent me, so I send you. The church has become a sleeping giant, and we have somehow forgot the commandment, the mission that we were saved to do and what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. We have become silent. We have just allowed the enemy to use his agents and to use people to push their agenda into the society. And God is not pleased with it. He's not pleased. He loves his people. He loves his creation. And he's calling, this is a clearing call for us, the believers, to get out and to begin to let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And a nation that turned their back on him will begin to suffer. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether you want to do it voluntarily or whether you do it involuntarily or voluntarily, every knee is going to bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. God said, I will be glorified. I will be exalted among the nations. So we got to get back to the basics, body of Christ. We have a duty, a responsibility to let folks know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he is the only person, the only name whereby mankind can be saved. We as the body of Christ, it is our responsibility to destroy the works of the devil in our society, in our communities, in our neighborhoods. That's our responsibility, body of Christ. So let's look at Psalms 33, and let's look at verse 12, because we're talking about what happens when a nation disrespect God. What are the consequences when a nation turn their back or try to remove God from the core of society? That verse, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he have chosen for his own inheritance. Blessed is the nation who God is the Lord, aka blessed is the nation whose God is Jesus, and the people whom he have chosen for his inheritance. If you are a believer in Christ today, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are his inheritance. And I'm going to go on to verse 13. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. So God sees all this wickedness, all this evilness that's going on in our society today, because he's looking from heaven and he see it. Let's go. That right there tells us a nation that exalt Jesus, a nation that promotes Jesus, a nation that reverence God is blessed. Let's go over to Ezekiel 5. And we are going to, And we are going to look at what Ezekiel 5, and I'm going to start with verse 7, and we're going to look at a nation, what happens when a nation disrespect God or try to take Jesus out of the center. I'm going to start with verse 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye multiplied more than the nations that are round about you, and have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgment, neither have done according to the judgment of the nations that are round about you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, and I will execute judgment in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. There are numerous scriptures in the Bible that show us, that reflect, that let us know what happened when we disobey God, when we do not keep his word, when we do not keep his commandments. Jesus told us in the Gospels that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. If we love him, we will do what he has commanded us to do. When we keep the Lord's word, when we keep his commandments, we will be, as individually, we will be blessed. And as a nation, globally, he will bless us. We see that in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 27, 28, when God tells Moses, when he give his word, his statutes, and his commandments to the children of Israel. And he said, if you continue in my way, if you keep my word, I will bless you. You will be blessed going out. You will be blessed going in. He tells them that your storehouse will be blessed. Your body will be blessed. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. He declared all the blessings upon them if they keep his commandments and his statutes. But if you do not keep my commandments and my statutes, he goes on to let them know all the calamities and the disasters that will come upon them, that they will be turned over into the hands of their enemies. And let me remind you, our enemies is anything that does not align up with the word of God. Our enemies are not only people. Our enemies are famine. Our enemies are wars. Our enemies is crime. Our enemy is violence. Our enemies is pestilence, disease, and plagues. Those are our enemies. And we see from the history of Israel, what happens when a nation turns against God? We see throughout the entire Old Testament, when the Israelites honored God, when they obeyed God, how God fought their battle. He was their defense. They prospered. They flourished. He blessed them like he said he would. We also see that Israel is our perfect example, because we are the spiritual Israelites, those of us who accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We are his inheritance. We are in the family of God. And when the children of Israel disobey God throughout the entire Old Testament, we see how God rejected them. We see that God no longer intervened for them. He no longer fought their battles for them. He allowed their enemies to overtake them. He allowed their enemies to defeat them. He allowed pestilence. He allowed wars. He allowed famine. He allowed all these negative things to come upon them because they refused to keep his word. They refused to obey him. They began to worship other gods. They turned to a lifestyle of idolatry, worshiping other gods, adultery, fornication, murder. Same thing that we see today. We look at the Israelites in the Old Testament, and we say, "Wow, how bad they were." But look, believers, do we not see this today in our society? Do we not see all type of adultery? We idolize everything but Jesus. We promote, we uplift everything but the Son of God. We idolize money. We idolize cars. We idolize careers. We idolize ministries. We idolize people, but we would not idolize or uplift God. And Bible tells us that our God is a jealous God. He expect our worship. He expect our praise. He expect us to reverence him. And that's why we're seeing so much disaster going on in our society today, because we have attempted and tried every way we can to remove God from the center, from the core of our society. We remove prayer from schools. And now what do we see? We see since we took prayers out of school, it has now been replaced with violence. We're removing the laws of God. What God said is a sin. What God said is immoral. We are redefining what morality should be. We have no right. If God says something is an abomination, if God says something is a sin, it is a sin. We do not have a right to redefine what morality is in our society. But because we as believers have set back and allowed the culture to dictate to us what is right and what is wrong, instead of looking into God's word, we are now seeing the consequences of what happens when you conform to the laws, when you conform to the ways of the world. We are now dealing with that when we see all these calamities and disaster things come up on the face of the earth. We see in the Old Testament, nations that disobeyed God or disrespected God, God totally wiped them off the face of the earth. But because of his mercy and his goodness and his long suffering, we are still here. We need to be giving him praise. We need to be thanking him each and every day for being merciful and great and grateful to us. Because we see Babylon, Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the Assyrians. We see Eden, nationalities, the Moabites, the Hittites, the Philistines, all of them wiped off the face of the earth. We see or hear no reference of them, no remnant of them today. And they were all alienated, wiped off the face of the earth because of their stubbornness, because of their wickedness, because of their transgression against a holy God. And I think that's one thing that we have forgotten and think that we have taken God for granted and think that God is indifferent to sin because he have not brought down his judgment yet. And we always talk about the love of God. Yes, God is love. He loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sin. That's how serious he is about sin. But we don't want to talk about the wrath of God. We don't want to talk about the judgment of God. We don't want to talk about the justice of God. Because just like God loves us people, and he does, he expects us to reverence him. He expects us to glorify him in our lives. And if we do not, there are consequences for that. There are consequences for not respecting and not reverencing a true, a holy, a perfect, a flawless God. And I encourage you all to read Romans 1. We're not going to go to that today, but Romans 1, it shows us, it tells us how we as a society, and it started ever since Jesus Christ ascended back up to the Father, how we as a society has begun to get progressively worse in our sin, in our wickedness, in our disrespect and disobedience to God. Romans 1 lists, it gives a breakdown of all the things that are an abomination unto the Lord, and what will cause him to turn his back from a nation, from a person that disrespect him. We have when a nation turn from the one and only true God, and then they become their own God with the little g, the Lord removes his protective hand from over them. The Lord began to allow disasters and calamities to come up on that nation or that person, if you want to personalize it. And he had turned them over to a reprobate mind, or he'll turn them over to what they so desire and love, the world. And we know that the love does not love us. We know that the world, the prince of the air, is the devil. And we know that he is the author of lies. He is the author of confusion. And he does not want to do anything but to rob, kill, and to destroy the people of God. But that's what happens when we disobey God. And when we take him out of the center of our nation, that protective covering that he protect us with is slowly removed back. Not saying, and see, and when we obey God, when we walk with God, because God made laws, he made rules for us to follow, to walk with him. And when we obey God and we keep his statutes and we walk in a way that's upright and pleasing to him, we are walking and we are lining ourselves up, and that's a healthy alignment to what God has established, the way God has established for us to live. Because when we're upright and we're walking in a way that pleases the Lord, and we're walking in harmony with him, we're walking under his protection. But as soon as that nation, elder people, begin to turn away and want to create their own laws like we are doing and redefine morality, the protective hand of the Lord is removed. And then that's when the devil is allowed to bring all his devices and schemes upon that nation, to push his agenda upon that nation. Not saying that when we're walking with God that we're not going to go through trials and tribulation, because we are, because Jesus tells us we are. But he also tells us that the Lord will deliver you and the Lord will be with you through them all. But if you're not acknowledging the Lord as your God, if you're not acknowledging the Lord as your God, how do you expect him to protect you? If you're disrespecting him and you're not worshiping him and you're not voluntarily bowing your knee before him, how can you expect him to protect you? That's what we're seeing today, people. So as believers, as you look around and you see all of this going on in the world, you see the phantoms, you see lack. And I wish I could sit here and tell you that it's going to get better, but it is not. But as a believer, we have an obligation to begin to pray, begin to intercede for our nation, begin to intercede pray for our leaders, because this nation needs to come back to God. This nation needs to come back to God. And the healing begins in the heart of the man when God begins to heal our heart. Hatred is on a rampant here. And nobody can change the heart of man but God. Nobody. Because the word tells us that God has the heart of the kings, the leaders, in his hands. And he could turn them whichsoever way he so desire. So we need to fall on our face, believers. And as 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, that if my people, that's us believers, will humble themselves, that's us, and seek his face, pray, turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven and heal our land. And the healing, as I said, the land starts in the heart of humanity. But we got to pray and ask God to intercede and begin to turn the hearts of the people, to begin to take those stony hearts and make them hearts of flesh. We got to pray and ask God to begin, bring us into a humble position so that we can, and open up our spiritual eyes and our ears so that we can really see and discern what is going on in our nation. Because that's one thing that the body of Christ today is lacking, is a heightened spirit of discernment. We got to stop conforming to the wicked and ungodly laws that they're putting in place. Because even we may not actually be doing it ourselves, but to agree with it and to accept it is still sin. And we see all of that in Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 13 all the way down to verse 32. We got to take a stand, believers. We got to wake up. This is a clearance call for the body of Christ to wake up and seek the face of the Lord for our nation. Yes, Jesus prophesied that all these things will be the beginning of sorrow. But that is not an excuse for us to sit and do nothing. That is not an excuse for us to accept whatever the devil is pushing and throwing in our society. We have the authority and we have the power. We are God's representation of who he is, of his power and authority here on earth. And God is calling us to stand up and begin to walk in that authority and that power, because we are the salt of the earth. And I love that, because the word salt, when you look at salt, number one, it creates a hunger for Jesus. That's what it should be. And number two, salt preserves. So if we are the salt of the earth, Jesus is saying you can preserve what's going on until I come, by praying, by taking authority, by seeking the Lord's face, because we have the power. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to silence us. He wants to shut us up. He wants us to think that there is nothing that we can do because this was all prophesied. So just sit down and wait till Jesus come. No. Seek the Lord and ask the Lord, what will he have you to do in this time? Don't be afraid. Be not dismayed, but be courageous. And know that the power of God lives in each and every one of you who have called upon the name of the Lord. Nahum 1:7 tells us that in the day of evil, which is this day, that God knows who trust him, and he will protect them, and he will keep them. So if you are trusting and believing in the Lord and you walking in his ways, be confident and know that he know that, and he's going to keep you, and he's going to protect you in this evil day. And this is the evil day. I want to close this out in prayer. First of all, I want to, those of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted the free gift that God has given you, which is himself in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, I invite you to do that today, because God is the only one that can save you from sin. And he came to do that. He shed his blood, that untainted, that perfect blood on Calvary for you. Repeat this prayer after me. Father, I come to you in the name of your son, Jesus, and I thank you for your free gift of life. I thank you for shedding your blood for me on Calvary. I accept that. I turn from my wicked ways, because you have forgiven me of all sin, past, present, and future. And now I open up my heart and I ask you to come in and to be Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you. Amen. If you said that prayer, you are now a child of God. Now let Jesus discipline you and increase you in your faith and knowledge of him. I thank everyone for joining us today. Until the Lord brings us together again, I pray that each and every one of you will have a blessed and a safe week. Keep Jesus first. Stay in the faith. Don't get discouraged. If my people were called by my name, if you are a person of God, begin to seek him to see what you can do in this time. God bless you all. Amen.